foul back 0-2. Swing and a miss on a high hard one. He struck him out on three pitches. Swing and a miss on a fastball. He struck him out. Morrow blazing away here with the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck out the side. And here it comes. Fastball. Strike three called outside corner. The inning is over. Morrow with 12 strikeouts tonight.
Put them all together, and that's your play of the game, brought to you by Rogers On Demand. Watch the Jays live from anywhere, online or on the go at RogersOnDemand.com. Brandon Morrow was that good tonight against the team that jerked him around for 4 years before finally trading him to the Blue Jays. Morrow went 6 innings of 3-hitter, striking out a dozen. A fantastic outing for him. He took a no-hitter into the fourth, a one-hitter into the sixth inning, and gave up just the one run. Threw 110 pitches in 6 innings. That's going to happen when you strike out 12 guys. It was his season high. He had struck out 11 Texas Rangers at the end of July. That took him 7 innings to do. His season low hit game was against the Royals. He gave up 2 hits in 6 innings. And this was next best. He had also given up 3 hits against the Indians, going 8 innings back in July. But this was Brandon Morrow looking almost as good as Brandon Morrow could look. Thoroughly dominating the Seattle Mariners, which he should be doing. And the Blue Jays win it 5-1. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Late Night Jays Talk. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance is 1-888-666-0590. You can also find me on the Twitter at Wilnerness590. I keep an eye on that throughout the course of the Jays Talk. But I prefer you on the phone. Speaking of which, I asked a question before the break. Can you believe the Blue Jays got this guy for Brandon Lee? And remember, too, this is only Brandon Morrow's second full season as a major league starting pitcher. The ceiling is unlimited. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. Let's start up with Leo in Toronto. Leo, can you believe they got this guy for Brandon Lee?
Good morning, Mike. I can't, but you know what? Brandon Lee is an all-star.
Brandon Lee was an all-star this year.
Right. I'm just kidding. But anyways, I just want to ask you, he had 12 strikeouts today,
yes,
but he had no ground into double plays. Brandon Morrow has actually not induced a ground into double play all season.
That's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah. It is very cool. He's pitched 132.2 when I did the research. Do you know how many players have actually pitched more than 100 innings and had zero ground and double plays?
You've done the research on this? I don't know. Not at all.
Zero.
Very impressive.
So, I mean, these were complete seasons, so there's still a chance that Brandon Morrow could have some double plays the rest of the season. But there's only been 9 pitchers that I've only had, you know, that had more than 100 innings and only one double play. And in terms of pitchers who have pitched more than 100 innings, 2 double plays, there have been only 18. So we'll see what type of record he sets.
Oh, we might be seeing an historical season for
for
Brandon Morrow. It should be noted that he induced 9 double plays last year, and as you know, as a full-time starter.
Right.
You know, pitching 146 innings. So a lot of it has to do with luck.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah, that's just some little
cool
thing to notice.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Great game.
Thank you for pointing that out. That is very cool. Brandon Morrow has not induced a single double play all season long. Take nothing away from the great year he's having. He's having a great year. Rohan is in Toronto. Hello.
Hi.
Can you believe, Rohan, that they got Brandon Lee? They gave up Brandon Lee and got Brandon Morrow?
It's like Anthropolis is pulling off steals everywhere.
It really is, isn't it? He's magic.
Yeah.
He's a ninja.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right. So spectacular inning for Morrow aside, I want to talk about Jesse Litch.
Sure.
We know that he's a good starter if given the chance, right?
Right.
But in the bullpen, he's been spectacular.
In 11 and two-thirds innings.
I realize it's a small sample size.
Yes, tiny.
But his peripherals have been really, really good.
Really, really good. I think he's given up four hits.
He's not really a big strikeout guy, but his strikeout per nine is like something like 14.
He struck out 13, I think, in 11 and two-thirds now with today. He didn't strike anybody out today.
Right, right.
So his strikeouts are up. His hits are way down. He's not walking anybody. He's doing a phenomenal job out of the bullpen.
So what I want to ask you is, if you have Jesse Litch on your roster, would you rather have him start or would you have him in the pen?
Well, again, I still haven't seen enough of him out of the bullpen. But the truth is, with the starters that the Blue Jays have, I don't mind taking a look at Jesse Litch in the bullpen, especially if he's going to be able to throw harder and get better results. I love the fact that he makes himself a fifth infielder. He's a guy who has had injury trouble, and maybe this helps avoid that, although you would think after the Tommy John, he should be fine now. I don't mind it. I don't hate it as much as I would hate if they made, say, Brandon Morrow a closer or Henderson Alvarez a reliever. I don't hate it as much with Jesse Litch.
All right. So the last question that I have for you is, what happens with Brad Mills now? Because we know he tops out at around 86, 87. That's not really a good use in the pen.
No, he's not going to the bullpen. Brad Mills is going to start on Sunday. That's what John Farrell says.
No, I know that.
Long term?
Yeah.
Long term, Brad Mills doesn't fit here. He's not going to be in the rotation long term. He's, maybe a mop-up guy in the bullpen long term, though you would think that's probably a waste of him. He could go be decent somewhere else. And, not that he has much trade value, but maybe Brad Mills is a piece of a larger trade at some point in the winter.
All right.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I'm surprised that they're sticking with Mills for one more start. But that's the word from the Blue Jays. Matt is in Vancouver. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you again.
How's BC out there with the whole Seattle, Jays in Seattle, Brett Laurie thing?
Well, you know what? Actually, I was hoping to go down to a game, but I'm actually in acting school, and then that would have interfered with my perfect attendance record. But actually, every single time I've gone to a game in Seattle, they've lost. So, this is the one time I don't go, and they win the series finally. So, but you know what? There's not many baseball fans out here, but... we got the single A team, and the people that do love baseball like it pretty hardcore, so that's pretty good. But don't really have any info on Brett Laurie, but I'm
we
sure
had a
like-
caller though on Friday night, I think it was, or yeah, it might have been earlier this week or last week, that said baseball was like number two in Vancouver, and everybody in Vancouver loves baseball, and the Blue Jays should move there.
I don't think so because
Sunday.
People like the CFL and they like their Canucks out here. But, I'd definitely love it if the Blue Jays could play like a three-game series at the new stadium with the new roof they have out here. But that aside, I had a comment and a question.
Sure.
And my comment was actually just about the bullpen and second base. I'm not worried about those things because I'm looking at this team and I see a team that's got the potential in 2 years, maybe three, to be a very exciting team. If you look at kind of how these teams evolve, like... even when the Athletics had their run where they made the playoffs a bunch of years, this is sort of where those teams start out. They got a lot of good guys that just have a huge ceiling coming up. And, it's like the bullpen and second base. I really hope things work out with Aaron Hill because I really like this guy. But it's no point in worrying about that now because, like you said, things change so much from the time that, things can change so much within a span of like a year. And the question that I had was about Jose Bautista. I noticed that he's starting to kind of, he's jawing at the umpires a little bit, and especially on that in the eighth inning when he got called on that strike three. That was definitely a strike call. And, you know, I've been umpiring before, and one of the things that I do know is that umpires have a tendency to go after certain players who do that. You know, like for a hitter who complains a lot about the strike zone, they'll tend to call those borderline strikes, you know, knowing full well that this is a guy who tends to complain a lot, and vice versa with the pitchers, you know, they'll shrink the strike zone a little bit. And I'm just worried that this might have kind of a long-term effect for Jose Bautista, because I really like this guy, and, you know, I just want to see him get on base and not kind of mess himself up with in the umpires, because they have opinions on every single player, and, you know, it's just kind of the way things go.
Yeah, no, it's very true. It's true, and it's a good point, and I think he's doing it a little too much. It wasn't, I don't think he was as upset about that call as he was about strike three, the at-bat before, and he was already kind of ramped up and ready to fight when that one happened. So that's why. But you're right, he argues too much. He does. And Jose Bautista seems to be a pretty intense competitor. There are things that he does that he shouldn't do. Arguing with the umpires that much is one of those things. Taking too many of the center fielder's fly balls is another thing. These are things he needs to work on as his superstardom continues to develop. Eddie is in Thornhill. Hey, Eddie.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Just to address your question, I can believe the trade was made. Right now, I think it's about a bit of a wash, because Brandon Leake and his 30 saves would sure look good in a Jays uniform right now.
Yeah, it's not a wash at all. As good as Brandon Leake's 30 saves would look in a Blue Jay uniform, first of all, who's to say he would even have the 30 saves? He's not supposed to be the Mariners closer, remember. He fell into the job when David Ardsma got hurt.
Well, that's true, but I think that's the case with a lot of closers. But
No, it's true. But, I mean, I'll take Brandon Morrow's 135 innings over Brandon Leake's 50.
I want to ask you, what's the difference in their ages?
In their ages?
Yeah.
Maybe Leake might be a year or two older. Okay, Morrow just turned 27.
So they're similar in age. Ultimately, I think the winner of this trade is going to be the player that plays at a high quality for the longest. And ultimately, it's going to be the one that leads their team into the playoffs. So
neither of them is going to lead a team into the playoffs.
Well, help lead their team into the playoffs. So, and the way I see the Blue Jays roster right now, I think the closer spot is the one position that I think is keeping them away from contending, at least, or playing meaningful games in September next year. As their position players are now, I'm happy with everyone, including Aaron Hill at second base. I can live with that for next year and see them contend. And the starters, maybe they need another top-flight starter, but it's the bullpen, in particular the closer spot, that's keeping them, I think, from contending for next year right now.
Well, but that's next year. And Frank Francisco, John Roush, are not going to be here next year.
No, but all I'm saying is that, yeah, Morrow's great, and he's been pitching great, and he's been a great acquisition. But I'm saying, you know, we also need a league-type closer for next year if we want to contend as well.
Okay, I'll give you that, but I will also say that if we'd been talking a year ago, you would never say we need a league-type closer, because he wasn't one. And that's how you get your closer. You find your Brandon Leagues when David Ardsma gets hurt. You find John Axford. You find Jordan Walden. You deal for example, a Joe Nathan, who's a middle reliever somewhere, and you want to turn him into a closer, and you make him into a closer. You find Joaquin Soria in the Rule 5 draft. You find Fernando Salas. I don't even know where the hell St. Louis found Fernando Salas. But that's how you get a closer. And that's why there's nothing to worry about. There was a question asked on the Twitter about Travis Snyder's option. Travis Snyder does have an option left for next year. Last year, he was on the disabled list and then on a rehab assignment, didn't use an option. So, Travis Snyder still has an option left for next year. Eric Thames still has two left. Another question on Twitter, can you believe we got Bautista for cash? They didn't. They got
Jose Bautista for Robinson Diaz, which is just about the same thing. Sam is in Kitchener. Sam.
Mike, great game tonight. A few things I thought that gave me hope for next season and even for this season. Did you see Lurie run? He hit a hard ground ball to second base, and he actually made it a close play.
He gets down the line really, really fast.
Unbelievable. Really fast. I'd be curious to know his 60-meter dash time. But the other thing was hit a hard-hit ball the other way. I think the reason he was frustrated with the umps was, you know, he's coming back into his own, and he's been getting bad calls. Would you say it's fair to say he's been getting bad calls all year, or am I just...
I don't know that he's been getting more bad calls than anybody else has been getting bad calls. It's a lot to ask for the umpires to get every call right, and I think they make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. Well, like, I consider myself a sabermetrics guy, but and I hate this phrase, but it seems like you watch Jose strike out looking on pitches that really don't look like strikes a lot. And I go down to about 20 games a year if I can. I mean, at least 10. And it seems to happen a lot. And maybe I'm willing to admit I'm a bit biased. I'm a huge Jays fan, but...
Well, and also, you know, every time Jose Bautista strikes out looking on a pitch that he doesn't think is a strike, he makes it very, very apparent that he didn't think it was a strike.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's wrong, like he was in the eighth inning today. But he wasn't wrong in the fifth.
Oh, that was, I looked it up already. It was so on Brooks. I don't know. Do you use the site Brooks Baseball?
I don't. I would have liked to have seen the K-box right there, because it looked like that pitch was about a foot and a half outside.
Oh, it was way out. Although there was a borderline call the previous pitch that probably, it could have gone either way, but it was called a ball. So, I mean, I know it goes both ways.
Yeah,
so
generally when the umps give you one coin flip, they take away the next. That's just the way it works. But, I don't know if there are more bad ball strike calls being called on Jose Bautista than on anybody else. I do know he's very, 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 very demonstrative when it is, and that's not to his benefit. Russ, formerly in Jersey, is now in Seattle. Hey, Russ.
Hey, Mike, how are you? Time to get home. But I really enjoyed it. Great series. You know, we had everyone really contributed. And even Escobar, we didn't have much to show for it. Hit the ball hard all the games. He got a lot of home runs from all the different guys. The umping was bad both ways. I'm saying Seattle was complaining. You know, right before Encarnacion hit a homer, he was really upset with the call. So, you know, it was a good series all around. We got, you know, just exciting that you think about this team in the future. And if they could keep this lineup together, how exciting will be. The only thing I'll say is, Brett Lurie's dad is almost as excitable as him. He was at the game before the game, running all over the place. So it was a great, great series to come out here, and I really enjoyed the experience of here in Seattle. Nice fans, too.
All right, and we're thrilled to have you as our correspondent from Seattle, Russ. Are you taking the red eye back?
Yeah, I was thinking of going to Oakland, but I got to get home to my wife and kids. No, I'm going to take the flight tomorrow early in the morning and get on back.
All right, well, enjoy yourself. Have a good flight. And we appreciate the calls, as always. Russ usually calls us from Jersey, calling now from Seattle, where he went to see the Blue Jays. We are Jays Talking It Up, late night style. Alan is in Toronto. Hey, Alan.
Hi, Mike. No, I'm not getting any foolish notions, but he's already said double digits in strikeouts per nine innings. Only Randy Johnson and Pedro Martinez are ahead of him in that department, and he's already ahead of Sandy Koufax and Nolan Ryan. They're under nine per nine innings. So, you know, it's encouraging. Anyway, I'm very encouraged with him.
What, you're talking about career?
Yeah, career, yeah. Randy Johnson had and Pedro Martinez had over 10 per nine innings.
Brandon Morrow's got 6.7.
No, 10.2, they said.
Oh, right. I'm looking at Brandon Lee. Pardon me. Wrong Brandon.
Yeah, Brown Branch, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? He's got a long way to go to catch up to those other guys, but it is kind of exciting to see a guy be able to dominate the way he does with the strikeout.
Also, Edwin Encarnacion, two names came to mind, Paul Molitor and Edgar Martinez. They became DHs because of their defensive deficiencies, I guess it was.
Molitor became a DH because he was a piece of glass, and Edgar because he blew out his hamstring. He was actually a very good third baseman before he got hurt, so a little different there.
And usually you become a DH when you're in the twilight of your career. Don't you think he's a little bit young to be a DH? I'd love to have him there because of his defensive deficiencies, and I'm very enchanted with the third baseman that we have right now.
Well, who isn't?
Yeah. So
the thing with age and DHing, I've never really gotten it. I mean, I understand that people say, well, he's young, so why waste him in the DH spot? The truth of the matter is, if you're not as good defensively as everybody else, you should DH. I don't care whether you're 22 or 26 or 35 or 40. And Edwin seems to be able to DH with a really clear head, and he's taken to the position beautifully. I think he could be very successful there for a very long time. So it doesn't matter to me that he's 28. It doesn't matter to me that Adam Lind DH'd last year at 27. Age has nothing to do with it. If you're a better defender than somebody who's out on the field, then you won't be DHing. If you're not, you will. That's the way it ought to go. Thank you for your phone calls. Apologies to those of you to whom we could not get. We are going to take a look at the scoreboard. A series victory in Seattle. A 5-1 win for the Torontos behind Brandon Morrow and his 12 strikeouts in 6 innings of 3-hitter. 9th win of the season. He is one away from his career high. He's got last year with the Blue Jays. In 4 more starts he's had so far this year. It's the Blue Jays Radio Network.
Scheduled maintenance, we do that. In addition to the best selection in inventory and tires like Michelin, BF Goodrich, and Uniroyal, Active Green & Ross offers complete maintenance service and repairs. From tires to tune-ups, we do that. Visit our website at activegreenross.com. Plus, now earn Aeroplan miles on all purchases. There's no better place to buy your tires and service your vehicle than Active Green & Ross.
It's the Honda Daily News Quality Report. According to J.D. Power & Associates, in 2011, the Honda Accord is the highest-ranked midsize car in initial quality in the U.S. To celebrate, we're putting our customers first with this quality deal. Lease a 2011 Accord starting from 0.9% APR for 48 months or finance at 0.9% for up to 60 months. Lots of quality deals and cars at your Ontario Honda dealer. For details, see newspaper or HondaOntario.com. J.D. Power & Associates award information at JDPower.com.
I'm Rob Wong with this Sportsnet Radio Fan 590 update. The NHL's research and development camp began today in Toronto, where they tried out a couple of interesting rule changes, including 3-on-3 overtime. The 2-day event concludes tomorrow. Legendary Ottawa 67s coach and GM Brian Kilray says he will retire at the end of the season. In the NFL, the New York Jets have given former Buffalo Bills first-round bust Aaron Maben a 1-year contract. And in tennis, world number one Carolyn Wozniacki was bounced in her first match at the Cincinnati Open by American Christina McHale in straight sets.
Your team on your station. Toronto Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet Radio. The Fan 590.
We are back in baseball control in Toronto. Another late night Jays talk has gone by brilliantly in the wake of a 5-1 win for the Blue Jays over the Mariners. Brandon Morrow, 6 innings of 3 hitters, striking out 12. Jesse Litch, Casey Jansen, and Frank Francisco with a hitless inning of relief each. Home runs for Adam Lind, Edwin Encarnacion, and Colby Rasmus to get the Jays a win. Quick look at the scoreboard. Texas Rangers beat the Angels 4-3. They have now opened up a 7-game lead on the Halos in the AL West, and they look for a 4-game sweep on Thursday night. Tampa Bay took down Boston 4-0. The Rays
take two out of three from the Red Sox, and they three hit them in each of three straight games at Fenway Park. Amazing. While that was happening, the Yankees were losing 5-4 in Kansas City, so New York continues to hold a half-game lead over the Boston's. The Tigers' lead in the AL Central is down to two games over the Indians, Detroit losing 6-5 to Minnesota, while the Tribe beat the White Sox 4-1. In the National League, Giants beat Atlanta 7-5, Philly over Arizona 9-2, so San Fran just 2.5 back of the D-backs in the NL West. You've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Rogers, a proud partner of the Toronto Blue Jays. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. And the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. Jays are off to Oakland. And Thursday night, they open up a four-game set. We're on at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. For 10:05 first pitch, those of you listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, get an extra pregame at 9. Make sure you tune in for that. For Jerry Howarth, Alan Ashby, Greg Zahn, Tom Young, Joe Sicilia, Matt Brown, I'm Mike Wilner. Good morning.